This general lack of leadership left on the square a handful of officers who were either unwilling or unable to take command of the insurrection, and a few thousand soldiers who were brought there by their officers, but in fact who knew relatively little of what the whole rebellion was supposed to be about or what they were supposed to do. It happened that the plan was to surround the Senate building, which would have been pointless since it was empty, and then to seize the Winter Palace and arrest Nicholas, which would have also been pointless since he wasn't there. All in all, this is not a very impressive revolution for what is often in history called Russia's first revolution. Its main signs were poor planning, confusion, and even a good deal of cowardice, if not tragic confusion. This was not the case on the government side. The new Tsar, Nicholas I, immediately ordered his troops to repress the rebellion with force, and they did so, though not without some resistance, indeed even including the killing of a government official sent to the square to quell the rebel troops by one of the officers who ran up to him and shot him dead. This rebellion also had echoes in other parts of the country besides St. Petersburg, and the most important of those was in Ukraine, where it was led. This movement was led by another secret society with very close ties to the Petersburg Northern Society, and this one was called the Southern Society. For several days, rebel troops, led by rebel officers, and the soldiers followed along, were on the march from Ukraine, heading up toward St. Petersburg, where they intended to come to the aid of the rebellion that took place there, which had already failed, and help bring about a more democratic government, as I'll describe in a moment. This, too, was crushed by troops sent to quell the rebellion and arrest its leaders. In fact, the leaders who were arrested were severely punished by the new Tsar. After a trial, 125 men were sentenced to hard labor or exile, and five of the leaders, all of them very high-born aristocrats, were publicly executed, hanged. Things could, it should say, have been worse. The new emperor, Nicholas I, wanted to show some mercy. This was, after all, the very beginning of his reign, virtually the first act he undertook. And originally, the five leaders of the rebellion who were sentenced to death were sentenced to be, like Pugachev, drawn and quartered in a public square. Nicholas mercifully reduced this simply to hanging. Now, what did these rebels want? After all, remember, they're all privileged young nobles and officers. Part of the answer can be found by looking at the programs that they drew up before the rebellion. In particular, a program called, in this case, one of them was called the Constitution, and this was written by members of the Northern Society in St. Petersburg, and another program of ideas known as the Russian Law, written by the leader of the Southern Society. First of all, in both of these programs, and in other statements that one sees from these Decembrist rebels as they began to be known, a strong state was seen as essential for progress. And here, in fact, one sees a rather important consistency with the traditions of reform in the Tsarist state itself. The most moderate of the Decembrist programs was the Constitution, written primarily by a man named Nikita Muravyov for the Northern Society. And this envisioned a Russia that would be ruled after a period of temporary dictatorship to ensure order, that would be ruled by a hereditary monarch. This remained a monarchy. However, it was seen not a very rational term, monarch or tsar or emperor. He was to be called supreme functionary, a more modern and rational notion, but still hereditary. It was seen as more orderly. But more importantly, he would share his power with an elected legislature, very much designed on the United States model, which these rebels greatly admired. But together, this hereditary monarch, the supreme functionary, and this elected legislature would still form a strong central authority, hearing the voice of the people, balanced with the legislature, but nonetheless very strong at the center. And by the way, many of these rebels were very interested in U.S. democracy, and as they read the American tradition, especially Hamiltonian aspects of it, they saw this as part of the American logic as well. Strong government with a legislative presence. A much more radical program came from the hand of Pavel Pistil, the leader of the Southern Society based in Ukraine. And this was what's called the Russian Law.